Good morning. Just a minute ago, I let out a yawn over there as I was singing through a song, and my wife turned to me and said, "Don't fall asleep during the sermon." I said, "I will try." As I get older, I have a harder and harder time adjusting to this whole daylight savings thing. I was waking a child up this morning, and I said, "You got to get moving. We've lost an hour." And he said, "I thought we gained an hour this time." And I said, "No, it's spring forward, fall back. You lose an hour in the spring and gain one in the fall." And he said, "Why don't we just gain one every time?" And I thought for a minute, well, at some point it'd be the middle of the night and we'd be here, I guess, but maybe a good idea. This is the way I saw it portrayed online this week. I thought I would share with you. I think it was Cecilia that shared this on our church Facebook page. This was Denise shared it in this way. If you're a Starbucks fan. And I also saw it shared this morning by a friend of mine, Trey Morgan, on Facebook in this way. And if you can't see the picture well, she's putting plastic gloves on her feet. I heard two really good solutions to it. One was my idea and one was a friend on Facebook. I had a friend on Facebook who suggested that if we did this at 4 p.m. on the Friday before, no one would complain. And you just gain that or lose that hour then, and it's automatically 5, and we can all go home. I have a suggestion for the elders next year. Maybe we should talk about this in a meeting sometime. I think we should become the church that is compassionate to the sleepy. And on Daylight Saving Sunday, let's just move it all back an hour. And so we'll get together at 10:30 for class, and 10:30 for class, 11:30 for church. No one will know the difference. Everybody can adjust on Monday or in the Sunday afternoon nap, and it'll all be good. But anyway, if you're sleepy this morning, you're not alone. I am there with you, and we'll try to make it through together. Now, changing gears a little bit, I want to introduce you to a family if you don't know them already. This is Nathan and Ashley Shank. Nathan is the associate minister at the Oregon City Church of Christ, which is on the south side of Portland, if I remember my geography right. I think he deals mostly with youth up there. This past week, they were in Depot Bay, taking a couple days. And while in the hotel pool there in Depot Bay, Nathan lost consciousness underwater in the pool. And his wife realized he's been under for quite a while and dove in and pulled him out of the pool and started CPR on him as 911 is being called. They life flighted him from Depot Bay, I believe, to Portland, to one of the hospitals, where he is under care right now. He is responsive in the sense that he's able to give thumbs up and some hand signals. I don't believe he's been able to speak yet. He's intubated, so he needs help breathing. And because of the chlorine in the pool, has some pretty significant burns within his lungs. And so they're trying to work through how to get him back to good health this morning. She has been overwhelmed with support as far as she's asked several times that people not come to the hospital because she just feels like she needs to be on when people are there. But she does appreciate prayers for Nathan and for their family. They have already raised, in a GoFundMe over the weekend, $10,000 to help with medical costs, which is great. And if costs beyond that come up and there are ways to help, we'll let you know about those things. But what I want to do this morning is steal a page from Andrew Baker's playbook. And if you were here for our youth rally a few weeks ago, Andrew, throughout the weekend, introduced us to the idea of text bombing. The one place where bombing is a good idea. And basically what it is we will get our cell phones out. So if you have your cell phone, I don't normally encourage this in church, but get your cell phone out. And on here, we have Ashley's phone number. And I'm going to double check it in my text just to make sure I put it on there right so we don't text bomb a stranger. Yes, that is correct. And what I'd like you to text is just something along the lines of praying for Nathan from Eugene, or praying for Nathan from the church in Eugene, something like that. So she'll have an idea where all this is coming from. When you get that typed into your phone and her number, feel free to go ahead and send that. I talked to texted back and forth with a good friend of theirs this morning who was pretty confident that this would be well received and a good way to encourage her. So if you'd like to text that, go right ahead. I'm sure they have a long road of recovery ahead, and any ways we can encourage will be helpful for them. And if we find out later she doesn't have unlimited texting, we'll send $5 for all the all the trouble. All right, as you're finishing those up, let's have a prayer together for Nathan. God, we thank you this morning for Nathan, for the fact that his life has been spared to this point. We ask that as doctors and medical professionals are all trying to figure out the best course of action for him, that they can make good decisions, that they can find the problems that are the most pressing and be able to solve those. For Ashley and for their child, as they are struggling with having a husband and dad who's kind of out of commission at the moment, that you will encourage them, that you'll bring them peace, and that you will help them to find ways to be encouraging to Nathan. For that church family in Oregon City that's probably hurting this morning, we ask that you bring them encouragement, that you bring them some peace, and that you help all of them to find paths to get closer to you as a result of this situation. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. After worship last week, I was talking to Trey, and Trey said to me, "You ever consider using a different background on the PowerPoint?" And I realized at that moment that when Trey and Ryan came our way, we were just starting the book of James, and I've had the same background going throughout the whole book of James. And I said, I do normally, but you just happened to be here for all this time. So this is the week, Trey. You can be excited. We're switching up the backgrounds. The James is gone. He was blaming winter and rain on my backgrounds, by the way, because it was a winter picture if you didn't see the one that was in the backgrounds. But this week, we're going to go into a different place. Now, if you are a part of one of our life groups on Sunday night, good for you. And I hope it has been a blessing to you. I know it has been to our family over the past several weeks and months. We are changing gears in those life groups now to go from the book of James into being the body of Christ, what it is to be the church, what it is we are to do, how we are to affect this church and our community as a result of that. And from time to time, I don't know that we'll do it every week, but from time to time, we will coincide on Sunday morning with what we're doing on Sunday night. Some of the groups started last week with this study, some will start tonight. But I want you to think some about the idea of the body of Christ as we begin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, Oregon or Oregon State, whatever divisions we may have among us. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." And we have this idea here that we begin with, that is, though we are one body, we are made up of many parts. One thing I have always loved about church is looking around on a Sunday morning and seeing the people that are here and trying to imagine any other situation that would bring this group of people into the same place at the same time. And I usually can't think of anything. I think of when I look at some of what you guys do on Facebook and follow you throughout the week and the different lives that you lead. I think of the Hows and rodeo stuff that I see come up on Facebook sometimes. And I think, I would have no connection to rodeo were it not for the Hows. And no offense to rodeo, it's just not something that I think of a lot. And as the Hows things come up every now and then, I think, I should go to a rodeo sometime. That looks kind of interesting. I'd like to see what that's all about. I see things that you do, the differences in our lives, whether it's age or where we're at in society or whether it's financial things, and we are a very different group of people. And God has created us in that way, and yet he brings us together. And the very nature of that is going to create some challenges because we see life differently. I would imagine, I've always wondered as I look at like the Hows with the rodeo stuff, as they post things on Facebook, how long it would take for somebody to say, "Well, that sure seems like it's mean to the animals." And the Hows would probably say, "These animals are pretty well cared for, and they're having fun trying to knock people off out there and all that stuff." And they would have a different understanding that we do, and yet someone coming from another walk of life would see it entirely differently. And I think we each run into that in life, and we probably run into that in our church life too. And we immediately are met with this challenge of, we're one, but we are many at the same time. And how do we function together in that way? And he continues on. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. These parts all belong. Now, some of them are not as exciting as others. And usually there are some of them that you do not notice until there is something wrong with it. And that's kind of the nature of the body, of how things work. I mentioned to you last week some of my excitement with referees and things at basketball games. I was talking to a referee before the basketball game last week, and I said, you could not pay me enough money to do what you do. If you came in and offered me six figures today to go out there being a referee for junior high basketball games, I don't think I could do it. Because, and we had this discussion, I said, you know, really, the only time that people are pleased with you is when they don't notice you're there. And he's like, I know, I keep telling people this. This is the frustration of this job. If I mess up, they notice me. If I'm doing well, nobody says anything. There is no encouragement, there is no anything that comes with it. And our body is kind of geared in that way too. You don't think much about your pinky finger until you slam it in a door. You don't think much about your big toe until you have stubbed it on something. You don't do a lot of thinking about your back until you wake up having slept the wrong way. The body is, there are parts that are just not all that exciting. And as we think of church as the body, there's some of that too. I was in here a week or two ago when someone was back there preparing communion. And I struck up a conversation and I said, you know, this is not a job that I want. I've tried to do communion one time, preparing it in my entire life. And it was like finger painting gone bad. There was grape juice everywhere. It was a complete mess. I had the little magic thing that you squirt one thing in each cup and it's all supposed to work. And it wasn't working. And I said, I can't do this job. But yet at the same time, if someone is unwilling to do this job and Paul finishes talking and we pray and we pull the lids off and there's nothing there, we have an awkward moment in front of us of what are we going to do when we're going to scramble. And that job is not glorious as it may seem, is every bit as important as Mike standing up and making announcements or me standing up here for the next 15 minutes or anything else that has happened here this morning. It is all part of what the body does. There is, and I've picked on Cecilia before, there is pretty stuff up here that I could not do. And Cecilia can. And that's the way she uses her talents here, amongst other ways. But that's one way. For each of us, we are a part of the body. And I hope that we will reach, if we have not already, the point where we are not constantly trying to fight for position to be a more important part in our minds of the body. And just start to realize what it is God has gifted us to do. If the whole body were an eye, that would be bizarre, wouldn't it? If we're all just a bunch of eyes sitting here in the audience this morning. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? We have this importance idea about us where we immediately start deciding, okay, this is the most important thing, and then this, and then this, and then this. I spent years as a youth minister wondering why I made so much less than the pulpit guy. I'm sure he's important, but he's only important for like an hour a week. You know, that's what does he do the rest of the time anyway? And I would be at lock-ins, and I would be at a Bible study somewhere, and I would be sitting at eighth grade basketball games when my kids weren't even playing. And I would think, I'm putting in so many more hours than that. Why am I paid less than that guy is? And I immediately start to buy in a little bit to, we have this pecking order that we figure out. And if you were to think of parts of your body, you might think of the eye as being pretty significant. And once again, something happens to it, then you realize. You don't think much about your teeth until one of them starts to give you some pain, and then you realize. And God would say to us here through Paul's writings in Corinthians, is the eye important? Sure. Do we need a body of just eyes? No, because that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. And so what we need to realize is we each play a part. And just because my part is more visible than your part sometimes does not make my part more important than your part. And that goes for each of us. And just because your part is less visible than others are does not make your part less important than my part. There are people in Children's Bible Hour right now as I stand up here and you sit out there. I would not trade places with them for anything. I want to talk to you. And I kind of know how to talk to you most of the time. If you put me in that room, you're going to see comedy in action because I have no clue what I'm doing in that room. They're just as important as anything we're doing out here. Maybe even more so if we really want to think about how the pecking order works. But God would say to us, you've got all these parts, and all these parts fulfill something. And there's something that they are there for to do. Let's quit worrying about being more important, less important, and move on to something better. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. He has placed them as he wanted them. So if you sit in your position in the church, whatever that may be, now, I will say to you, if you think where he has placed you in the church is warming chair 4 on row 8, I don't think that's what he had in mind. If you think where he has placed you in the church is quality control, and your job is just to figure out everything that's not being done correctly and make sure someone knows about it, I don't think he placed you there either. Someone else might have been involved in that one. I don't think he placed you there. And for each of us, that can be a challenge because for an awful lot of folks that refer to themselves as Christian around the world this morning, that's their job. They are seat warmer or they are quality control. And I like to think we don't have a lot of that here, but every church has some of those folks. If that is your position this morning, I think he's got something better in mind for you. I think he's got something clearly that is much more beneficial to the body for you. But if what you're doing is something relevant for the kingdom, if what you're doing is the stuff on the stage behind me, if what you're doing is housing people when the youth rally rolls around, if what you're doing is making sure the ladies' day is on track so it will happen the way it needs to happen, he has placed you as he wanted you. This is not just something you volunteered for. God has a role in putting you where he wants to put you to work. And if you have not found that, it's not because he's not trying. He has something in mind for each of us. He has gifted each of us in a specific way that can be used. Now, some of us have to get more creative than others. I've been to several churches throughout my life. I've never heard of anything called Karen Bear until I got here. Now, someone may be trying to do something like that somewhere else, but someone here decided this is something we should do. And now it happens. For each of us, as we have these gifts and these talents, sometimes we got to get a little more creative, figure out ways to use them. Sometimes we have to realize that there is a place and a place where I can learn a gift a little bit, and I can be used there if I will allow myself to be used. But for each of us, there is something. Now, I believe truly that one place this begins is life groups. This is why we started there this morning. If you are plugged in and getting to know people better, it becomes easier to use your gifts. It becomes easier to find a place to fit. So he's placed us as we wanted, as he wanted. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Now, I know there are times where you wake up in the morning and it feels like your body parts are fighting with other body parts. And so maybe this is a little too familiar, but at the same time, this is kind of comical, isn't it? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Well, how well is that going to go as you're trying to get the contacts in the morning to make those eyes work? The feet are going to deliver us wherever it is we're going. All these parts are needed for something. To the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. They seem to be weaker, and I really want you to click that in your mind, seem to be weaker, because things are not always what they seem, are they? But those things that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. There are people sitting in these chairs right now who pray for this church every day. And you have no idea that is happening. Because they don't announce it. They don't wear a t-shirt that says, I'm praying for this church every day. They don't call you to make sure you know it. They just do it. And those people are indispensable. There are people in this church that are doing all kinds of things that we have no idea what is going on. And those people are indispensable. There's a guy who I texted this morning to get that phone number and make sure all this would be okay. And the family has no idea that he gave me that number or anything else, but they're going to receive all those texts, and the phone's going to be dinging and dinging and dinging and dinging. And he was an indispensable piece of all this. He woke up this morning having no idea he would play any role in it. Each of us is an indispensable piece of God's plan. We each are here to play a role in his church, in his work, in his plan, in everything he's going to do. We have got to start living in that way. We've got to start understanding that it's not just, and I don't think you spend a lot of time thinking Brian is indispensable. Now, if you all got here this morning and I was sick, and didn't call anybody to let them know I was sick, and Tyler led that last song, and everybody is waiting, and no one comes up here, I might feel indispensable for about 20 seconds until somebody gets up and does something, and then it'll be fine, and you carry on. Everybody will tell the story next week. But each one of us is indispensable in the work of God. And if we would start viewing the work of God in that way, then everything begins to change. I hate to tell you this, but this might be one of the few places in life that this is true. I think a lot of you think you are indispensable at your work, at your jobs. Hate to tell you this, if something happens to you tomorrow, there might be a pile on your desk for a few days, but eventually they're going to find somebody else. As important as you feel there, either what you do is just going to stop being done, or they're going to find somebody else to do it, or if you're really that indispensable, maybe they close the doors, but I doubt it. Each of us can be replaced in so many other parts of life, and the one place we can't is here. And this is the one place that we kind of put off as if we can. Well, if I don't do that thing, somebody else will do it. If I don't invite my neighbor to church, somebody else will do it. If I don't tell my neighbor about God, somebody else will do it. There's not always somebody else that's going to do it. This is the place where we are indispensable because he has designed us for this, put us here for this purpose, and because of that, we need to start treating it that way. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. There is no division, and there is equal concern for every part. Is that all? Man, if we could get this down, we could write the book, we could hold the workshop, we could explain to everyone else how it's done, because this is where things start to fall apart a little bit. Because we don't always have equal concern for everybody. We're worried about, and I have, by the way, I have never been a part of one of these conversations here, and I am thrilled to have never been a part of one of these conversations here, but I have heard of churches with conversations about, well, we can't let so-and-so get too upset because do you know how much they give every week? And so if they pitch a fit, we're going to have to listen because if they pull that money back, we're in trouble. Now, if that conversation's happened here, I've not been a part of it, and I'm glad. That's not equal concern. Because whatever you put in that plate, it's not about voice. It's not about, this is not a political system where you're the big donor and so we're going to make sure everything's good for you. We're a family here. It's not who talks the loudest. It is not who teaches the most Bible classes. It is not who comes to the most events. We are all equal parts of this body. And because of that, we need to be not divided, and we need to be equally concerned when things are going on. And beyond that, it reaches outside this room, as it did this morning. I don't know if I've ever met Nathan. I've been to a few events in the Northwest where there's a lot of ministers there, and they all kind of run together after a while. I might have met him, but I'm not 100% sure. But when I hear of this guy who's going through this, he's a brother. And there is some concern there for him. It's been neat to see different people sharing what's going on with Nathan that I know from different walks of life. As a body, this is who we are, this is what we do, and we are driving towards having no division and having equal concern for each other. Now, are we there yet? No. Does that mean we give up on it? No. We keep moving in that direction. Now, as you are the body of Christ, now you are, excuse me, the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are. You spend a lot of time, we talk a lot in our culture about taking time to find ourselves, figure out who we are, what it is we're supposed to be. Here it is. You are the body of Christ. Now you know. You leave here with something you may not have known before. You are the body of Christ, and because of that, who we are, what we do, how we live changes. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Do we see people in Scripture who are not apostles sit around having group meetings about how they should be apostles instead of those other guys who are apostles? And starting committees to have it put within the bylaws that they will now be apostles. No. They don't waste the time with that. Now, is that riding in the back of someone's head somewhere? Probably. Because we get caught up in stuff like that. But what we see here is God has given some to be this, and some to be this, and some to be this, and some to be this. Are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And what does this mean for us? God has placed all of these people here for a certain reason, to fulfill a certain purpose. And if you have not found yours yet, like I said a little while back, it is there. And sometimes we just have to discover it. Sometimes, by the way, the people sitting around you, the people sitting next to you, they saw it 10 years ago and are wondering why you've not picked up on it yet. Maybe if we're a little more open with each other, we could start to learn some of those things. They see something in you you don't even see in yourself. But for each of us, we can't be content to just sit and yawn and show up. God has placed it on our hearts. God has placed it within our being to be a part of the body, and it is up to us to fulfill that placement. This morning, if you feel disconnected, I'm sorry. And I know that it is not the intent of any person in this room that you feel disconnected. I especially know that it's not the intent of the leadership of this church that you feel disconnected. We would want nothing more than everyone to be very well connected within this room, to be very clear on what it is that you bring to the table, and to make use of that. There is nothing more enjoyable than finding a talent somebody has that you didn't know about, and then watching it work. I remember the day we had a leak out here in the foyer, and our wall was a mess, and we were needing it fixed, and Dave says to me, "Well, I do drywall." Dave does drywall, all right. And the next day, Dave's out here with vacuums and drywall and all kinds of stuff, and boom, there it is. Talent put to work. For each of us, we have those things, and for a lot of us, we're just not using them for the kingdom. Now, is it good that you're using it in regular life? Sure. But could you use it in ways to serve God? Or if you're using it out there in regular life, could you blend God into what you're doing out there? Even better. When people see that God is a part of your life out there, it carries probably a lot more than it would if you brought them in here and tried to show it to them here. So this morning, we're connected as a body. We're not fighting for position. We're not trying to decide who is more important and who is less important. We're not trying to be something that we're not. We are trying to be the people God has designed us to be and to make use of that for his kingdom. And if you feel like you're not this morning, let's try to help each other get better about that. If you look at your life and you think, I'm just not living it for God, let's change that today. Whether it's something you need to confess, something you need prayers about, or whether, like Stephen last week, you need to take him on in baptism. Whatever need you may have this morning, please come as we stand and sing.